in this day and age. And that alim that I want to mention something from, who is very learned, very pious, and we all know him, is Imam Khomeini. May Allah bless his soul. He was involved in the movement for at least about 15 years before the success of the revolution. He started in Qom in days where speaking against the Shah was very difficult, and it seemed as though there weren't any supporters. That's what some thought and assumed, and he thought otherwise because he relied on Allah, and he felt and he correctly understood that a people, the majority of whom are lovers of the Ahlul Bayt, followers of the Ahlul Bayt, and the others who aren't are lovers of the Prophet and maybe confused in regards to after the Prophet. They were still lovers of the Ahlul Bayt, but not Shia. A country that the majority of the people are such, then that means that they want to move towards Allah. That's what believers are like. This is very important. This is what we're going to say a few words in regards to. The understanding that Imam Khomeini had of people from an Islamic perspective, from the viewpoint of Allah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala views people, and how we should view, we need to learn that, how we should be viewing people based on their iman, and what we should expect, and what we should do, and how we should interpret movements and people. This is very important. If we don't do this right, we will be making mistakes. Let me, right here from the get-go, mention this, that other people, even though they may have been very learned in ways similar to Imam Khomeini, they were scholars, they were pious scholars, but at least on this particular topic, they didn't have the understanding that Imam Khomeini had. And because of that, they didn't do what Imam Khomeini did, and they thought what Imam Khomeini did would have led to a disaster. The reason for it is they didn't understand what Imam Khomeini understood from Islam in regards to the masses, the people, a people who are Muslim and mu'min. Be it that many of them, most of them are involved with some level of sin, some level of weakness, as believers generally are. Believers are not ma'sum yet, they strive to become that. They move towards that. But the very fact that they are believers, that means something that we need to understand. So because of that understanding, Imam Khomeini started his movement. For about 15 years, when did Imam Khomeini say to people, his close associates, that the signs of victory are soon? This is that general theme, understanding the people, the way we should look at Islam. We're trying to understand this from the stances, the speeches, the points, the words of Imam Khomeini. Imam Khomeini, after close to 15 years of struggling against the Shah, at what point did he start saying that the signs are there that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this movement with victory? When did he do that? Is this on the 11th of February 1979, which is the day of the success of the revolution? Is that the day that he said that? No. That's not when he said that. When did he say that? When masses started coming to the streets. First they started in Qom, then in Tabriz, 40 days later, after the massacre in Qom, it didn't die. Another city rose, masses came to the streets in support of the movement, in support of what the people of Qom did, remembering the shuhada of the movement or the rise, the uprising in Qom. When this started happening, which is about a year before the revolution succeeded, this is in 1978, part of it maybe even in 77, towards the end of it, maybe December of 77, or January, February of 1978, when this started happening. This is when Imam Khomeini started saying that this is the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessing the movement, the sign that this will be successful. All right. People at the time, even ulama, scholars who didn't have the experience and didn't have the insight into Islam the way he did, even though they were part of the movement all the way until the day of the success of the revolution, or the one that I know of more specifically, about 10 days before then when Imam Khomeini arrived, or about a month before then, which Imam Khomeini said, "I want to come back to Iran." They were of the opinion that this is not the time to come. Why? Because they didn't think things were ready. They didn't think this is a victory. They didn't think this is time. They said Imam Khomeini is going to come, they're going to kill him. And that's what was being said when Imam Khomeini announced that he's going to be coming. That's what the official statement or the official stance of the government, which the Shah had already left. As soon as the Shah left, Imam Khomeini said, "I need to come." The government that was in place, the prime minister that was there, put there by the Shah, and the American advisors that had been sent over there to control the situation in the absence of the Shah, do something similar to about 40, 50 years or 20, 30 years before then, roughly, which was to have a coup and get rid of the movement. The official stance was that if he comes, we're going to shoot the plane down. People were like, well, whether that happens or something else, some other way, they will get rid of Imam Khomeini, and that's the end of the movement. To see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the movement with success, with victory. Where do you get that from? These are people that were around Imam Khomeini, and I'm quoting, I won't mention names, but I have heard this directly from some people that I have been around that are referred to as Ayatollahs that were there at the time as young individuals in Qom. And they were telling me, based on their conversation with some of the bigger figures that were at the time not so young, they were some of the leading figures of the movement under Imam Khomeini. He said they all agree that according to their understanding, this is not the time, and success and victory is not something that is imminent. That's not how they saw it. Imam Khomeini's understanding, it is there. Do you receive revelation? No, don't receive revelation. But our understanding is, based on Islamic references, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows this level of support of the people coming out at the right time in support of the movement, that is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this. Not will, has. Okay. It's already happening. It's already there. After the success of the revolution, just mind you, I would recommend again something that is very relevant to us as Muslims, not as Iranians. I don't even know if there are any other half Iranians or full Iranians here. As Muslims, to understand an Islamic movement in the current period that we are in that relates to all of us, and also as people to understand how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manages the affairs of people. Look at other movements, look at other revolutions, so-called revolutions, and some of them are actual revolutions, but look what happens to them. Study them as much as you can. You don't have to read huge books, just a few pages on each of those, you'll get a certain understanding, you'll see what I'm talking about. When a so-called revolution succeeds, the masses come out for something, you have to see after that, for how long does that last? You have in the Western history, modern Western history, you have two major revolutions in Europe. One is the Russian Revolution, the other is the French Revolution. And you have one revolution right here, the revolution in America, that overthrew a monarchy, that kicked out the queen or the king, whatever it was at the time, the British, and established, it was called a revolution from what we read of it. There are signs of a revolution. A people revolted. What did they revolt for? What did they want to accomplish? What were they sick and tired of? What was it that caused them to come out and shed blood? That's what happens in a revolution. People come out and you're putting your lives on the line. You're willing to get killed. Some people get killed. Others survive to get rid of a system and to bring about a new system. What were they looking for? And then look at, after the success of the revolution, in overthrowing whatever was there, apparently, and look 5, 10, 20 years after that, at the same country, and see if what the masses rose for, what they had their uprising for, if those goals are being met, are they at least moving in that direction, or are those goals completely forgotten, and you're moving in a completely different direction? Don't take it from me. Go read those examples and you will see what the people had their rise for, what they were willing to sacrifice lives for, was for their families. Because the people that came out and sacrificed themselves were not people of the upper class, very wealthy people with large amounts of land. Those people funded it. They funded it to get weapons to the people who are coming out and putting their lives on the line. Who put their lives on the line? Peasants, laborers, slaves. And these were the people that came out and put their lives on the line because they wanted a better system. They were sick and tired. They were fed up with a system that treated them like dirt. So after that, did things change? They sacrificed for a reason. Did they get to it? Did they move in that direction? Or did they move towards becoming the same thing, except it was called the British before the revolution? Afterwards, it's called the United States of America. But the same thing is happening. In France, similarly, in Russia, that they formed the USSR. If you look at what they did, that revolution, who came on the streets, and what it was moving towards. The Islamic Revolution, after the success of it, the people have constantly been with it. And that's what Imam Khomeini, during the 10 years that he lived after the success of the revolution, every time there was a fitna, there was a problem, there was an issue, that the enemies of Islam, with the help of the munafiqeen inside, they would create, the people would come out in support. Imam Khomeini would say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this. Whenever the people would come out, he would say the same things. Okay. Another fitna, another presence of the people. In the recent events that we didn't speak of, we spoke of what was happening in Lebanon briefly, but more importantly, we're talking about what was happening in Iraq. And there are new developments. Inshallah, I'll touch on that a little more on Saturday, hopefully by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were some events that happened in Iran as well. You must have heard some things. And these guys on this side were very happy again. You could see the energy in their voices and in their attitudes and thinking that something's happening, we're finally getting to them. And it only lasted 2 days over there. After what had happened, Ayatollah Khamenei had a session with the presence of Basij. Basij is a very blessed development post-revolution. The title was given by Imam Khomeini. But basically means for people to volunteer and bring out whatever they have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's basically what it means. Volunteers. People volunteering their lives, their efforts, their time, their money. And an establishment was created by that name, Basij. These people gathered. The first thing Ayatollah Khamenei said there is that the people who were in charge of security, the armed forces, whether it was the Sepah or the police or whoever it was, these different factions or different elements within the establishment are responsible to protect the people against those who want to cause mischief. This was something that was planned. People were trained in Saudi Arabia, just like the events in Iraq. These are, some of them are ISIS cells that are involved in the violence that you see. And they try to hide behind disguises and so on and so forth. In Iran, it was a similar situation. They were trained in Saudi Arabia and in some other of the Gulf countries. Anyhow, he said these institutions, these elements within the establishment did their responsibility. All of that is good and they should be thanked. But what defeated this was the rise of and the presence of the people on the streets. And it started in one city in Zanjan. Masses poured out on the street after that, Tabriz. And then other cities followed suit. In Mashhad, there was a huge procession of the people. And then the last one was Tehran a couple of days before this speech. Ayatollah Khamenei says, this is what killed it. What killed the enemies was not Sepah, their presence there, the intelligence agencies, the police presence, all of those were necessary. They did their job. But if all of them had done that, but the people hadn't showed up, you wouldn't have had the killing of the fitna. People have to come out and support what's right. This is an Islamic teaching, brothers and sisters. Mu'mineen coming out, supporting at the right moment, the right time, the right cause. This is a display of divine mercy and support. As I said, I will, inshallah, elaborate a little more. I wanted to explain this concept, this general idea to us, for us to think or to learn how we are to understand movements in the Muslim world, amongst Muslims, amongst believers. We see something similar right now, just happened today, I believe. I read today, I saw, and I was very happy because I was a little worried about some of the things that we were getting. There were threats against Ayatollah Sistani. They came out with their undisguised faces. This Yasir al-Khabith came out, the videos there. He said, oh, the problem, you guys are going and protesting in Baghdad. You shouldn't be protesting in Baghdad. You should go surround Sayyid Sistani's house in Najaf. This is Yasir al-Khabith. He said he's against Ayatollah Khamenei. He's not against Ayatollah Khamenei. He's against Tashayyur. That Imamah has got to be wrapped around his neck and he needs to be hung. This is not violence. He's causing all these violences. God knows how many Shias have lost their lives because of this Mal'oon in London. Okay. And now he is openly provoking Iraqis to go, and as a Shia scholar, because Shias are not going to do that. Okay, whoever thought this was something for the people, this is becoming more evident to them that it's not. All right, but this will be an excuse that he, if it was those days, alhamdulillah, the days of the killing of the Maraja and the Ulama is over. We don't have those anymore. There were days that in the cities of Iraq and Iran and other countries, ulama were killed and nothing was done about it. Those days are over. That's not happening. If it was to happen, they would have blamed it on the Shias themselves. And this is the mouthpiece, this Mal'oon in London. These things were happening, other things happened. We mentioned them, we talked about them, but today, masses poured out on the streets of Baghdad. See the pictures. If we're not there to be part of that, we're seeing this. This is a sign. We said the principle Imam Khomeini taught us, Ayatollah Khomeini has taught us. We've learned this. These are mu'mineen. They poured out from different cities. They gathered in Tahrir Square in Baghdad to show their support of what is actually right. Marja'iyah and so on and so forth. This is a sign the same way that Imam Khomeini mentioned in the context of the Islamic Republic in Iran those years ago, and also in the recent events in Iran, this is a sign of divine support and victory. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us be part of these with our hearts first, and allow us to, inshallah, experience them firsthand somewhere. The global revolution of the 12th Imam is happening right now, and there are more and more places that are joining, and the kuffar and the munafiqeen are starting to have to pull back from country after country, and this is a domino effect. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to see those days and the final victory of Islam with the coming of the Imam of our time, O Allah. We ask you to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, those who are seen putting their lives on the line, and those who are not seen that have been part of these great victories that we have recently seen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help and protect our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins, to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests. We ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world from the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabiya wa Alih. Rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'as salawat.